hands came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, bloody man, and thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. And then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head.
And the king said, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, David said to Abishai, to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. As David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary, and refreshed themselves there.
All right, thank you both. The Lord honors David's penitent heart. Ziba told lies, and Shimei threw stones. Doesn't sound too good, does it? So you got one line and one throwing stones. David was near Beer Hurim in Benjamin, and this particular area was still very much pro-Saul. They had never really accepted David as others had. David allowed Shimei to throw stones at him and his people. Abishai wanted to behead him. Kind of reminds you of back. Remember, it's the same guy that when David had opportunity, he had two opportunities to kill Saul. Remember? This is the guy that said, hey, we can kill him. And David said, no, you're not going to lay your hands on God's anointed. So here he is again. He wanted to behead this dude. He said, man, let's take care of him. He's not a problem. I'll just climb up there on the ridge and I'll behead that dude. He won't be casting any stones or any slurs. But David was a changed man. David had become much more sensitive to the Lord. Remember, David had a shepherd's heart. He cared about people. And God was continuing through all of this to work in David's heart, in David's life. If you want to write down, in case you want to remind yourself, 1 Samuel 26, 6 through 8, that's where Abishai wanted to kill King Saul. He is also the one that helped his brother Joab murder Abner in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 30. Shimei was also breaking the law of God in Exodus chapter 22. There's a passage that talks about as Moses was giving the law of God and various instructions on how to live their lives. And in chapter 22, I'm just going to read a verse here real quick. Chapter 22, verse number 28. It's the KJV says, thou shalt not revile the gods. The word gods there is Elohim. Elohim can mean the tri-unity, triune God, but it can also be translated various other things like magistrate, judge. In some places in the Word of God it can be, or it can be translated gods, or it can be translated God. So he could have been referring to God himself. Thou shalt not revile God, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And here Shimei was cursing David, who was the king. So he violated the law of God. But David accepted the abuse as from the hand of God. If you recall back in the last chapter, in verse number 26, But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And David, of course, is talking about the Lord God. Let God do what he needs to do. I deserve whatever I get. That's the idea. David knew, man, any trouble I get, I deserve it. Look what I did. Look what I did. So David and his people went toward Bahurim, about 20 miles to the ford of the Jordan, which would be a narrow and or shallow spot in the river, possibly near Gilgal, maybe near Jericho, and they rested there. And then we'll see in chapter 17, later in the chapter, the next morning, they crossed the Jordan and went to Mahanaim. All right. Before we get into the next chapter, any questions so far or comments? Words of wisdom. Riley, you got anything to say? No? Okay. Yes, sir.
We couldn't finish this one?
Oh, we didn't finish yet?
We still have 15 through 23.
Well, I kind of went through it without, I'm not going to read it all again, but I can't, there are some things that I want to bring out, so let me go back for just a minute. Yeah, I kind of told the story. I did it in a... All right, let me... No. I do have things that I wrote next to these verses that I was supposed to tell, so you did good. Thank you. All right. Let me catch up here. When Shimei was cursing David... In verse number 7, he called him a bloody man or a man of bloodshed. And David, of course, the Lord said that about David. God used him to kill a lot of people. But then he said, thou man of Belial. And, of course, Belial, when you really nail it down, it's talking about Satan himself, but actually a vile fellow or a... it's one of my favorite sayings in the Bible. A vile man. What's the word I'm hunting for? A lewd fellow of a baser sort. Yeah, a lewd fellow of the baser sort. That's what he's calling David here. And then in verse number 8, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief or evil, because thou art a bloody man or a man of bloodshed. So he's bringing up his past sins as well. Because remember, David had Uriah killed. And so he's throwing that in his face. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse you? And that's where he said, I'll go up there and I'll cut his head off. In verses 10 through 14, it shows David was indeed a broken and penitent man. He showed restraint. Remember when Abigail's husband, that wicked fellow, David sent some men up to him and said, we'll pay you. We need some food. Remember that? He basically said, get out of my face. How do I know who you really are? I don't know if you're David's servants or not. And David wanted, he gathered up a bunch of men and headed south, was going to go get them. Remember that? Abigail got in between them and said, whoa, and she talked him out of it. So he was a hothead, wasn't he? Kind of different here. He wasn't willing to go after Shimei. Because even though they were uncalled for, did not David know that what he was saying was true? He knew he was getting what he deserved. So David's reaction was a whole lot different than 1 Samuel 25:25. Nabal was running his mouth. David wanted to shut his mouth, and Abigail said, please don't. In verse 11, David accepted the curses from Jehovah. He said to Abishai, to all of his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it. Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. And maybe God will look on my affliction, and the Lord will requite or repay me good for his cursing this day. As David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside parallel with them and cursed as he went through stones. And this is where you said I didn't finish, right? Because we got through verse 14. You guys were perfectly correct. I'm kind of anxious to get into the next chapter. It's full of adventure. But I don't even know if, yeah, we got time. We'll get there. Because I've got something else I wanted to share in between the two chapters is where I was headed. All right, so I need somebody to read 15 through 19. Ms. Becca. And then 20 through 23. Billy, you want to read those? All right, go ahead, Becca.
And Absalom and all the people and the men of Israel came to Jerusalem and Ahithophel with them. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay. But whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence.
And Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what you should do, we should do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired as at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
All right, thank you both. Before we get into that, which I do have more notes on 15 through 23, I just wanted to mention some of the similarities between the suffering of David and the suffering of Christ. I find it pretty remarkable. Remember, out of the loins of David came Messiah, Jesus, right? And Jesus one day will sit upon the throne of David. But number one, they were both rejected by their own people. John chapter 1, verse number 12, or excuse me, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the Lord Jesus was rejected by his own people. David was rejected by his nation for the most part. They were both betrayed by a friend. David was betrayed by Ziba. And of course, Christ was betrayed by Judas. Also, number three, David gave up all for his people and was willing to die to save his rebellious son's life. Jesus gave up all to die for us, and we are, of course, sinful and godless people, rebellious people. But yet God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Both David and Jesus crossed the Kidron and went up to the Mount of Olives. And when the Lord comes back and we will be with him, not talking about the rapture, I'm talking about the second coming, we will be with him. He's going to come down on the Mount of Olives. Number five, both were falsely accused and shamefully treated. Then lastly, number six, both submitted to the Father's will. Neither one of them retaliated or threatened. David had lost his throne, but Yahweh was still on the throne and would keep his promises to David. It wasn't over for David. But he still had some to go through, some things to go through. All right. So, any questions so far? All right. Appreciate you re-steering me, George. I got off course there. Thank you for bringing me back. All right. David and Absalom were about to enter into a civil war. Now, let me ask you this: in a civil war, which one of the two would win? Would either one win? Because if Absalom won, David would be dead, and many others would die. If David won, Absalom would be dead, and many will die. So either way, it's a lose-lose. Isn't that kind of what war is? Everybody loses. Everybody loses. Because lives are lost. Absalom was trusting his charm, his popularity. He was trusting his army and his counselor, Ahithophel, who was David's wise counselor. Now he was with Absalom. But David trusted the Lord in his great psalm. There's a lot of good psalms to go along with all of this. But Psalm 61, and again, I'm just going to read two verses. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning of the psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so David was trusting God while Absalom trusted himself and others. Some of the things that David would endure here in the latter part of chapter 16 going into chapter 17, number one, or A, Absalom stole the throne. Absalom stole the throne. Now, chapter 16, verses 1 through 14, were basically a parenthesis. It was kind of fill-in material to introduce us to some of the characters like Shimei. Now, in verse number 15, we're going to re-enter the narrative. And the story continues on. David had left Jerusalem quickly to avoid bloodshed. So Absalom arrived in Jerusalem. David did it on purpose. He left Jerusalem quickly so that there would not be bloodshed. A bunch of innocent people getting killed. So he left, and Absalom came in and did not have to fight and kill people. Because again, David was a shepherd who had a heart for his people. Hushai approached Absalom as quickly as he could. Remember, he was David's friend. He was God's man in Jerusalem to frustrate Ahithophel's counsel. If you look at verse 16, it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. Some translations have, long live the king. What do you notice about those two phrases? If either one you use, doesn't matter. What do you notice? Anything pop out at you? Anybody? Do you see the name Absalom? See, in his heart, he was saying, long live the king, David. Yeah, he wasn't a traitor. He came in service to King David and the Lord himself. So he said, long live the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, Absalom didn't catch it. Is this thy kindness to thy friend? Is this how you are honoring your friend, my father, David? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide or remain. Who is Hushai speaking of there? Yeah, he wasn't talking about Absalom. Absalom had a little pride issue. I don't know if you noticed that along the way. And again, or besides, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. So Absalom is not again directly talked about. He said, in thy presence I will serve. In thy presence I will serve King David. Pretty slick, wasn't it? As I have served in thy father's presence, so I will be in thy presence serving your father. I love it. Now, Absalom, of course, had to seize the throne before he could rule to let it be known publicly that he was the official king. We see that in verses 20 through 23. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel, give advice among you what we shall do. I want your advice. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines. David had left 10 concubines behind to take care of the palace and the grounds. Go in to them which he had left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred or odious, some translations have. I like that word, odious. Of thy father, then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong or be strengthened. And David, of course, would be repulsed by what Absalom was about to do. In the Near East, possession of the harem came with the throne. It wasn't unusual what Absalom was about to do. And of course, God had said, as a part of David's punishment, if you please, back in chapter 15 and verse number 12, Absalom sent for Ahithophel to get the Gilonite, David's counselor from his seat, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices in the conspiracy. That's not the right verse. That's not what I want. I wrote down chapter 15, verse 12. How about chapter 14? No? Anyway, it's where God had, through Nathan, told him that publicly David's concubines would be violated. That's exactly what Absalom is doing, following the will of God as far as the punishment for David. So they put a tent up upon the top of the house. Where was David when he lusted after Bathsheba? Yeah, he was on top of the house. So the place where everyone could see, they pitched a tent and brought in David's concubine, and Absalom violated them. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Notice that Absalom did not seek the Lord. Instead, he sought the advice of man and the wisdom of man. He relied upon human experience and human advice only. Ahithophel also, we don't see anywhere where he sought the Lord as well. What he wanted was revenge, because remember, Bathsheba was his granddaughter. So the reason he went with Absalom is not because he believed in Absalom. He went to get back at David, because not only did he violate Bathsheba, he killed her husband indirectly through sending him to the front lines. So going into David's concubine was what a conquering king did. So Absalom was declaring publicly, I am now the king of Israel. And the verses that I wanted, I don't know why I wrote down 15:12 there, would be chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. That's where Nathan told him this would happen. Chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. So number one, or A, Absalom stole the throne. B, David's supplication was answered. Chapter 17, beginning with verse number 1. That's the title for the whole chapter. Absalom now had to prevent his father from retaking the throne, and the only way he could do that would be to get him killed. So there were two plans that were given, one by Ahithophel in verses 1 through 4, and humanly speaking, that plan would have worked perfectly. There's nothing wrong with that plan. But God had a different plan. And that was given by Hushai in verses 5 through 14. David had prayed that God would turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness back in chapter 15, verse 31. And that's exactly what we're going to see happen. God used Hushai as an answer to David's prayer to cause Ahithophel's counsel to seem foolish, even though it was the smartest plan. But God was steering this thing. God was in control, wasn't he? All right, somebody read 1 through 4, and we'll start there. 1 through 4. Anybody? All right, Gary, go ahead. 1 through 4.
Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men
arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the same pleased Absalom well, and the elders of Israel.
All right, thank you much. So verses 1 through 4 are Ahithophel's second piece of advice to Absalom. The first piece of advice, go in and unto your father's concubine. Second piece of advice, kill David so he cannot reclaim the throne. And so Ahithophel said, get you 12,000 men, and I will arise, and I'll go after David. And he said, do it now. Do it. Let's get it done tonight. Let's get it done tonight. Don't wait. And I'll come upon him while he's tired. He's weary. Literally, his hands are falling limp. And I'll make him afraid with the 12,000, and all the people that are with him are going to be scared to death. They're going to run away, and then I'll kill the king myself. Wow, that's not very nice. Notice that Ahithophel sounds to me like he's trying to take charge. What do you think? Kind of taking over, isn't he? He's supposed to be a counselor. He's not supposed to be the man calling the shots. Well, Absalom and the leaders liked the idea, but he wanted control of the army so he could personally see to David's death. But it didn't end there, because remember, David's friend Hushai was there. And so Absalom, as God no doubt was doing the directing here, he said, I want to hear from Hushai, the Archite. Let us hear likewise what he says. So if I could get somebody to read 6 through 10. 6 through 10, we're going to run out of readers here. 6 through 10. Miss Betty. And then 11 through 15. Anybody else? 11 through 15. George, you want to read again? Let's see how far we get. Let's just do those because we're running out of time. Go ahead, Miss Betty.
Said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart has the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men.
All right.
Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and all, of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom.
That's good. You can stop there. That's a good stopping point. Thank you both. All right, so Hushai gives his piece of advice, and it's much more complicated than the first plan. The first plan was pretty simple, wasn't it? But what he's trying to do, of course, is he's trying to convince Absalom, as the Lord is working in all this anyway, that he has a better plan. See, that's not enough men. 12,000 is not going to be enough. Do you realize who you're going up against? Of course you do. He's your father. Hushai said unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong spot here. I saw Hushai and I started reading the wrong spot. All right. In verse number 5, I read 5, 6. Hushai was come to Absalom. Absalom spake to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? What do you think? Does it sound good to you? And Hushai, in verses 7 through 13, basically we see there God taking control providentially. The counsel that Ahithophel hath given, it's not good at this time. Might be good at another time, but the way things are right now, not a good plan, not a good plan at all. And Hushai began to explain, you know your father, you know his men. They're mighty men. They be shaft or bitter of in their minds, their souls, as a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. You know that he's not too happy with what you've done. You are stealing his throne, and they are extremely angry. You know they're angry over it. Thy father's a man of war and will not lodge with the people. He's not going to spend the night with everybody else. He's going to be in a pit. Some translations have a cave. Going to be somewhere else, in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. So if there's a small army, if there's only 12,000, they're going to be turned away. They're all going to flee. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is at the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. And I'm going to have to stop kind of in the middle of everything here. I knew that was going to happen. Any questions?
The previous chapter.
Yes.
Verse 22, when it said, in the sight of all Israel, was that like an open tent, like a pavilion, or was it they just knew what was going on? They literally
It was, see, yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I can't prove that, but I believe that's it. Thank you. You are so thoughtful.
I try.
Anybody else? Any questions or comments? All right. Sorry, I was kind of choppy today. I had a lot of stuff to say, and I guess I didn't practice enough. Either that or I'm just old. And I'm losing it. You didn't think it was choppy? I mean, I didn't know where I was. I started doing another chapter when I wasn't done with the one before. It won't be long. I'll be out of here. Did you hear that? See, that's every service.
That was George, not me.
Oh, you said that.
George said that. That wasn't Becca.
George. I am so shocked.
I've been married with Rebecca too long.
Thanks for filling in for me.
Man. You know what? If I had feelings, it would have been hurt right there. All right, pray for the church. You know, we're only a couple of weeks away from a brand new year, which gives us brand new opportunities. If the Lord tarries is coming, let's pray for the greatest year ever. That half our church that are not members of this church will join the church, that we can join together and fight the devil together and promote the gospel of Christ. Pray for our nation. These are critical days, and I'm hearing more and more about AI and how that's going to impact us, the electrical grid and all these different things. Because remember, the president came with a great idea. All these server, gigantic server stations – They're going to build their own power plants. That's not going to happen overnight. You know, the people are already freaking out because what happened in 4 years hasn't been undone by the president in 10 months. They expected him to walk into office, sit down in the chair at the Resolute desk, and suddenly everything that's wrong with America is fixed. I'm serious. I cannot believe. We lost a mayoral race in Miami, been under Republican control for several years now. I don't understand how anybody could vote for that party. I just do not get it. But that shows how fickle America is. And I'm concerned about 2026. Are you? We need to be. We got to get out there and vote. I don't even know if we have an election this year. Yeah, it's every 2 years. Congress, right? Yes. It's all of Congress that's voted on, correct? Every 2 years? Yeah, we'll have an election. Yes.
I think something a lot of people don't understand is you can destroy quicker than you can build.
Isn't that true?
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like a house. You can wreck a house in no time, but it takes time to build it, you know? And if it took that long to destroy, how much longer do you think it's going to take to rebuild it?
And they're not looking at stuff that's already been done. But pray for our nation, our leaders. I'm disappointed. I don't think Congress and Senate are, I don't know, they're just not moving fast enough. I think they could be doing a lot better job myself. That's just me. A lot of people are disappointed dealing with stuff that, who cares, versus things that really need to be dealt with. And also I think they need to, and they're starting to do this where they're starting to say more of what good things have happened. And I think that's important. People need to hear it. They're not going to hear it on mainstream media. Pray for Israel and Ukraine, Nigeria, Sudan, other countries where Christians are persecuted. Pray for law enforcement and ICE. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Mark Rhonda and her mom. Pray for Darlene. Talked to her this week. She sounded really good. Kathy said she's doing well. And I'm very thankful for that. Pardon me? She's, I call her the miracle lady. I said, oh, is this the miracle lady? Pray for Ronnie and his great niece Marissa up in Pennsylvania. Pray for Nancy's doing better. You still doing good? Does the cold bother you?
No.
Excellent. I was wondering about that, whether that cold hitting your face would bother. Pray for Barb Hazard, George's aunt, who has kidney cancer, will have surgery to remove it on January the 26th. Bill Gardner had cancer surgery, and Annadale said, no, that's not the case. He had fluid on his heart, had some of that. He does have cancer, though, but he did not have surgery. So pray for Bill Gardner. And then Rebecca Dawson's cousin fell and is in the hospital. She did have surgery on her back and her pelvis. Her name is Penny. How's she getting along? You heard anything since Friday?
She's sore and everything. She don't want to get up and walk. They're trying to get her up and walk.
She won't do it?
She won't do it.
Oh, she got that. So important.
Yep.
Wow. Well, let's pray that she will. That's the worst thing. I can't imagine anybody wanting to get up in that condition, but man, you've got to move. So pray for Rebecca's cousin, Penny. The Miller family, child having medical issues. And then I got a text from Brian Helsley that he was either taking out or putting in a transmission yesterday, and it fell on one of his fingers and crushed it. So he was in the emergency room until 5:30 this morning. And the doctor said that it will be fine, that it's going to heal fine. So I guess it's going to come back to, but he said it's hurting pretty bad. I can't imagine. Yeah, so pray for Brian with a smashed finger. All right, let's stand together and take these requests to our Lord and ask him to intervene for us. Father, we're thankful that we can come to you. We are unworthy, but yet, God, you are a great God. You love us, and you care for us. And Lord, you not only are with us, but you live within those that are born again. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for your ministry in us and through us. And I pray that the ones we called out to you with physical needs, we know that unless you intervene, there is no one that can heal, no doctor, no nurse, no one, but you ultimately, Lord. You're the healer. And Jesus is the great physician. So please, if it would glorify and please you, heal those that we called out to you. We pray, Father, that you would work in our leaders, both locally and nationally, that they would seek your will and your wisdom, and that, Lord, this nation could be saved. If it's going to be saved, it's got to be you, Lord. So please break hearts and turn our leaders to you. And, Lord, I pray that we would see America come back as it once was. Please defeat those far-left radical Marxists that are seeking to destroy our nation, and folks from other countries that have come in, like in Minnesota, 90,000 that have not assimilated and now have a little city within a city, and there's corruption and over $1 billion at least that's been stolen, and no one wants to talk about it except those on the right. The rest are trying to hide it and make excuses. So, Lord, we're asking you to intervene and that this would be worked out in a way that would honor you and would help to, again, to save our nation. We pray, Father, that you would continue to minister to Mark, and we think of Rhonda's mom and Rhonda herself, who's gone through so much. Give her the strength, increase her faith in you and trust, encourage her heart, Lord, and continue to show yourself faithful to her. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to, I didn't mention Ward, that you continue to heal him and give him renewed strength, and Rebecca as well. And Lord, bless the coming hour. We don't know who's going to come, but we're thankful for those that are here right now. So Lord, may we have a sweet time of fellowship, singing Christmas hymns and looking to your word for encouragement and strength. Holy Spirit of God, please work in our midst. For without you, nothing of eternal significance will happen. We need you, Lord. So please meet with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.